If you'd like to turn with me to the 6th chapter of Judges, you know, when the Lord brought the children of Israel into that land of Canaan, this is the form of government that he established. And since people were involved, of course it wasn't perfect, but it was the perfect form of government for God's people. And but they, at some point, they got to where they wanted to be like other folks. You know, Satan is really cunning, isn't he? He just wants to change everything if it's right. And whatever the Lord directs, he's always wanting to cause a misunderstanding or whatever damage he can do to that. But the Lord designed Canaan land in the children's there to be governed by the judges. And they were judges from each tribe. There wasn't a chief justice. Well, there was, but it wasn't of the children of Israel. But they had a quality that they lost. They gave that up when they didn't want that, because they wanted to be like other folks. And that's a temptation. You know, we can understand that. At that point, they were looking at it from a natural standpoint. They were kind of in disarray. The tribes wasn't together like they later would be. And so it's easy to understand that they would look around at other countries and see that, well, the way they done it, they had a leader and kind of kept things together. But it's always been different with the Lord's people. He didn't intend for them to be governed that way. But they saw the outward appearance of the splendor of having a king and all these things, you know. And they had adopted the illusion that if we had a king, he'd take care of all these problems for us, and we wouldn't have to deal with them on a daily basis. But as it turned out, it worked just opposite to that. But the judges was a good way to govern, because it was what the Lord had appointed. It would not work for anybody else. A lot of things that the Lord has commanded his people to do and operate by, and works perfectly in his way, but yet it wouldn't work with just everybody. In the 6th chapter, and the chapter right before this, the latter part of it, makes a statement, and it seems like it's almost like a pattern, and maybe those patterns didn't change so much even in New Testament times. May have been less of a time pattern to it, but it seemed like the church, you know, since it was established, it had times that it's kind of low, and then other times it flourishes more and it's better. But at this point, that last verse in the 5th chapter said, "So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when it goeth forth in the night, in his might," excuse me. "And the land had rest for 40 years." That, you know, you wonder people that came up, young people that were born and hadn't seen all these things, and for 40 years they had rest. They wasn't engaged in war. There was no famine. It just really was a good time that they had enjoyed. But the next chapter, the sixth chapter, it kind of points out what people are. And we're not much different to them. We have less excuse than they had, maybe. But it said, the sixth chapter, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years." It's always the case, it was then, it is now, that when we are discontented, even with the peace that we have, that it's just the beginning of something that's going to ill affect us. And so he delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. That would be the beginning of a very hard and trying time for the children of Israel. And they, instead of backing up and seeing where we've made the wrong turn, they kept trying different things, and of course none of them really worked. But because of the Lord's love for them, because of his purpose, he would not let them destroy themselves. But it would leave a lot of wounds and scars. But God had brought them into this land, and it's theirs, and it still is today. Whoever may occupy it or whatever, but when the Lord comes back again, that piece of land over there is still going to belong to Israel. They may not be there. They may be in prison somewhere. They may even got where they didn't want it anymore. But it's theirs. And that's not going to change. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands, to the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which all in the mountains and caves and strongholds." They went, but they couldn't meet like they did before. They had to hide. And on every occasion, then they were persecuted. When they would find them, they'd persecute them in some manner or another. So those 40 years of rest, I'm sure there was a lot of them that remembered that and just thought, well, this is the end of it, you know. And it was so that when Israel had sown, that is their crops, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come to Gaza. And they left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass, for they came up with their cattle and tents, and they came up as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." it seemed like they kind of like us. They get in trouble, and then they got out of it. The Lord got them out of it, and it wasn't long until it may not have been the same problem, but it had been another that could have been avoided. Greatly impoverished. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Isn't it amazing the times that we go the wrong way, or make mistakes, or say things that we know we shouldn't, or do things that we know we shouldn't, that the Lord is merciful, and when we go to Him and acknowledge that, He always can He can take care of the situation, regardless of how hopeless it might seem. And He certainly did on this occasion. That the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and I brought you forth out of a house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptian, and out of the hands of all the that oppressed you, and I drave them out from before you, and I gave you this land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. You know, sometimes that seems like that's so far off and such a long time ago, until it's hard to remember that it's closer than we think. But you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree which was in Ophrah that pertaineth to Joash. I'm sorry, I'm butchering some names. I can't get my tongue straightened out. And his son Gideon, threshing wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Because remember, at this time, every time they would produce a crop or anything like that, then they would just come in and take what they wanted. There was no defense against them. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now you have to kind of think from Gideon's standpoint now. They've been raising crops, and they didn't mow. Just as soon as they get rid of harvest, here comes the enemies in, and they clean them out. And so all their labors are gone, and they're left in a bad shape. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said to him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. You know, several people in the scriptures that the Lord would come to would acknowledge their weakness. And that was the beginning of their strength. There was a great man one time, the Lord come to him and told him what was going to happen, what he's going to do. And he said, but I'm just a child. Lord, don't say you're a child. You're whatever I make you, and I can make a child stand in the face of anything. So, but it's wonderful for people to be humble. That's the beginning of wisdom, is to have a sense of humbleness. Thirteenth verse. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into his hand. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midian. I can't not imagine what Gideon felt like and what was going through his mind at this time. Because he knows that he's weak and he's helpless, and the Lord is telling him that you're going to save Israel. It's not going to be a great army that's going to rise up, but you're going to do it. And you know, sometimes, and it's hard for us not to put dependence in a lot of people. And it's discouraging sometimes when it seems like, and so many times in the scriptures we have accounts of people that thought they were helpless, that they were outnumbered, that there was no way that they could succeed in whatever they was doing. And God would demonstrate to them that, you know, I don't need a lot of people. I don't really need, period. But I can save by many, or I can save by a few. And one of the great lessons, I think, in this particular scripture is that we learn that our strength is not in number. And that's hard to remember. We know it from a standpoint of principle, but I'm talking about to really understand that our strength is not in numbers. And God would prove this to Gideon and to the ones that's reading it today, that I don't need a great army. And God is going to take Gideon, and he's going to take him through a process that when he gets through with him, he's going to understand that a lot better than he does at this point. And it'll be a wonderful trip. And he said, O Lord, wherein shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I'll be with you, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I've found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Well, the Lord went on to demonstrate to him, you know, sometimes we need the Lord to reinforce us and to convince us that, you know, I'm aware of what the problem is, and I know how to fix things. And he would do that. I think he's done that so many times probably in each of our lives. Maybe not something so dramatic and widespread as what's happening here, you know, but if it's you, then it probably is. So he went on and proceeded with that, and for the sake of time, it not reads awful much. But he gave some instructions to, and I'll move over to the 26th verse of this same chapter. Sixth chapter of Judges. And he built an altar unto the Lord, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And he took the second bullock and offered a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. And he began at this point to establish Gideon and give him some strength of what he was going to have to do, what God was going to tell him to do, because he's going to tell him to do some things that was frightful. He's going to tell him to do some things that, according to nature, was impossible. Not only impossible, but it would be something that would cost Gideon and his followers their life, according to the nature of things. But the Lord was going to give him what he needed. Gideon didn't need this kind of faith to start with. But when the time came that he needed it, the Lord would furnish him with what he needed. And he would need a lot. Move over to the, or on to the seventh chapter. And I know I'm skipping a lot, but I wanted to kind of keep our mind on what the Lord has done to this little fellow that you know, he admitted to start with, you know, I'm the least among the least. That has been quoted from some of the other people that's mentioned in the Bible. But in the seventh chapter, in the second verse, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. You know, people, you hear so many times people talking about getting saved and save yourself. That in the right place, that's correct. But I expect Gideon right now was very much puzzled. Because remember, the enemies had gotten together, and it said they just filled the valleys with multitudes of people that were ready to fight. They had what they needed to fight. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful, this is what the Lord is telling Gideon to do now, and Gideon knows that he's going to be facing an army, a multiple armies. If he's afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead, and there return to the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. You know, sometimes If you tell people the job's hard, if you don't feel like you're up to it, you don't have to. You can go home. A lot of them pack up, don't they? Well, they did on this occasion. But you know, the Lord, He's not. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what the end of this is. But Gideon doesn't. But the Lord knows how this is going to turn out. And the Lord said unto Gideon, fourth verse, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I'll try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people to the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth water, him shall thou set by thyself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you. And deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the others go every man to his place. You see, there were some of them that were drinking, but while they were drinking, they were observing. And they were looking and watching for the enemy. Sometimes I think we just enjoy so much until maybe we kind of forget to keep the guard up while we're feasting. But what these men were going to be called on to do, what the Lord is doing two things. He is removing those that could not stand the test. But more importantly, He's going to teach Gideon, I don't need an army. And if you do what I say, you don't need an army. That's a great lesson. It seemed like that some of these things in the Bible are so far away until it's hard to bring them close to our lives and our experience. But you see, a lot of times God will call upon us sometime to let us demonstrate the strength that He's given us and to remind us that if I tell you to do something, I'll make sure that you have what you need to do it. I'm not going to do it for you, and I'm not going to make you do it. But when I tell you to do something, if you'll just do what I say, you'll have what you need when the time comes. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all other people go every man unto his place. And remember now, he's standing and he's looking out at an army innumerable. At least 2 major nations in that area. Their armies are together now. They fill the valleys and the hills, and everywhere Gideon looks, there's armies. The Lord said, I'm going to give them to you now. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and they sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men and the host of the Midianites beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into your hand. Now it's night time, and old Gideon, he can't see what's going on. But he has something to go on that's better than sight. Because the Lord said, I've delivered them to you. Now when he went to bed that night, there was a great multitude of armed armies before him. And the Lord had him send away most of the army that Gideon had. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. And when I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow on the trumpet also on every side of the camp. Remember, he done took the 300 men he had now, and he done divided them up into three. And say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. In other words, about midnight. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpet in their right hand, and they blew to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshean and Zareth, and to the border of Abelamoth unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, Come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters of Beth-barah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters, and they took two princes of the Midianites, two of their leaders, and they slew them. What a day. What a day that was for the children of Israel. They remember. How many times do you reckon in years after that would they sit around and talk about what happened that time? And especially when times looked bad for Israel, they relied on going over these things and refreshing and building their faith back in how the Lord was going to take care of them. That's what we do. Whether it's a personal thing, whether it's a church thing, or whatever. The best encouragement is to remember what the Lord's done for us in the past. And what a great evidence that is that He'll continue to do so. Gideon learned a lot about the Lord, and not just Gideon, but the children of Israel learned something that day. They learned that God don't need a multitude of people. If He chooses, He will use a multitude. But He just don't really need that. And there was one battle that it required one man, and only one man, no other. Nobody could help, nobody could hinder. But you know, the greatest battle that ever took place for the Lord's children, there's one man. One man. He didn't need help. It seemed like that everybody tried to help him just was more of a hindrance than anything else. Not a real hindrance, because he wouldn't be hindered, but I mean it was more in that direction. And they still trying to help him. And Lord knows, they just so many times it's more of a hindrance than it is a help. Hindrance to the people. It's not going to hinder the Lord. Lord's going to do. There's some things that the Lord's going to do, and He will not be hindered. And He won't be helped, because He won't need the help. But there's some things that He lets His children do, as He did Gideon. Now, He didn't really need Gideon. Don't you know He could destroy them armies without Gideon? But He blessed Gideon. He blessed you and I to look and see that your strength does not lie in numbers. And however many the enemy is, and however strong he seems, yet God has the power to turn it around and have them to destroy themselves. You know, Gideon didn't have to fire a shot. They didn't even have any weapons. Well, not what we would normally term as weapons. The Lord has not changed. The Lord's care and concern for His people has not changed. And that's what our hope, that's what our strength is. That's why that these examples in the Scripture are so important, because it's about us. It's not just some story about something happened a long time ago that's a little bit interesting. But it's about me and you, about our future, and about how we perceive the Lord and how we perceive ourselves. And my friend, if we can see those two things clearly, then we'll be a great blessing to others and to ourselves. Thank the Lord for all the strength that comes from Him, be it many or few. May He help us in times of when it looks like the enemy is so strong and we're so weak, to remember about Gideon and these 300 people, and such was his faith in God until he even took the three and divided them. You know. We still have the three. And there was a time that it was necessary to divide them up. But they came back together and never to be divided again. Rejoice in these truths. They're good and they're true. And they stand the test of time. They stand all the tests that could be put to them. Thank the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that he would give us things like this? So that we could be encouraged. Whether it's some disease that comes through the country, whether it's a disease that's not physical or whatever, that the Lord is not in a position to be victimized with anything. He is eternal. He has all power. Always has, always will. All power. I'm so thankful that we have a God that's not like the gods of the world. How he proved that time and time again. That these other gods, they done some remarkable things, and they still do. But when it come to a certain point, they failed. That was as far as they could go. But the true God, he is not hindered, and he will do his pleasure in heaven and in earth. So thankful that we have one that we know is able to do that. And we don't have to ever wonder, is he able to do this or that or whatever? I thank you for your kind attention. And in times when things look kind of rough personally or as a church or as a people, just remember that the Lord, he can save by a few. By a few. May God bless you is my prayer. We'll have a song of dismissal and announce the open doors of the church.
Same to God. When Moses and the Israelites.
Mac, if you have any comments or anything.